it's a special time of the year for all of us. It's the time the Bible says that the Passover is to be kept. We're going to study about the story of the Passover this morning. The first verse I'm going to read is found in Exodus chapter 12. Some people today wonder, well, why would we study about the Passover or think about it? And so we want to read what God said to Moses and the children of Israel when he was first commanding them to keep the Passover. Exodus chapter 12 and verse 24, he told them, "And ye shall observe this thing for an ordinance to thee and to thy sons forever. And it shall come to pass when ye become to the land which the Lord will give you, according as he hath promised, that ye shall keep this service. And it shall come to pass when your children shall say unto you, What mean ye by this service? That ye shall say, It is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt, when he smote the Egyptians and delivered our houses. And the people bowed the head and worshipped." So he told them they were always going to keep the Passover so that as young people grew up, they would hear the story of the Passover and it would become real to them. If you know the story of the Passover, we'll talk about it for just a moment here. We know that God made his covenant with Abraham. Let's turn back to Genesis 15 and read that so we can get a little bit of background on why the children of Israel needed a Passover to get out of the land of Egypt. Remember, when the Jews were delivered from Egypt, they had lived there for about 400 years. They'd been, at first when they came down there, they were well treated, but they had been turned into slaves. And the Bible tells us that there was about 600,000 men and their families, about 600,000 households by the time they were delivered. But the reason they weren't given the promised land that Abraham was promised by God immediately was the people who lived in that land, God wasn't ready to destroy them and get rid of them yet. He was still working with those people. And in Genesis chapter 15, beginning in verse 13, this is God talking to Abraham. It says, "He said unto Abram, Know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years." That'd be kind of hard if you were making a covenant with God and he told you, "I want you to know right now that your children, your generations, are going to be servants in a land that they don't own, and they're going to be afflicted there for 400 years. That's a long time. Verse 14, it says, And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge, and afterwards they shall come out with great substance." So he told them they're going to work there for 400 years as slaves, but eventually I will judge this nation that's going to have them in bondage, and they'll come out with great substance. Verse 15, he told Abraham, "And thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace. Thou shalt be buried in a good old age." He told Abraham, you're going to live a long time and have a peaceful life, and you're going to die, and then your children are going to, your descendants are going to be in this bondage for 400 years. In verse 16, he told them, "But in the fourth generation they shall come hither again." Told them, they're coming back to where you're at, Abraham, and they're going to inherit this land after four generations. Verse 16, "But in the fourth generation they shall come hither again, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full." The Amorites were the people who possessed the land that God promised to Abraham, and they lived all over that land. And God was working with the Amorites also, because the Amorites were also descendants of Noah, and they knew what they were supposed to do, but they had filled their land with idols and all kinds of things, and so God was not going to destroy them out of this land immediately, but he made provision for Abraham and his people to be preserved, and they became the people who God made the covenant with. Now, anybody we know that would have done what was right would have been God's covenant people also. It wasn't just Abraham and his family, but it was promised that through Abraham's family the Messiah would come, and we know that Jesus eventually came through that line of people. So he told them that it's going to be 400 years, your people are going to be in bondage. At the end of that 400 years, I'm going to deliver your people. He said he was going to judge that nation, verse 14, and he said afterwards they shall come out with great substance. And then we're going to actually read the story of the Passover this morning. You know that the Jews had been in Egypt for about 400 years. We'll turn back to Exodus 12 now and begin reading there, verse 1. They had been there for about 400 years, and God spoke to Moses one day out in the wilderness from the burning bush. You probably all heard the story. Moses was walking through the wilderness, and he saw this bush that was on fire, but it wasn't burned up. And he went over to see what it was, and God spoke to him from there and told him that he should take off his shoes because the place where he was standing was holy ground. And God told Moses at that time that he was going to send him to Egypt to free the people. And Moses had been out there in the wilderness herding sheep for 40 years. He lived out there. He was a very humble man, and he didn't think that he was good enough to do this big job. He said, "I can't even really talk, God. How would I go down there and do this?" And God told him he was going to bless him and help him be able to go do this great job. So we're not going to read all about the plagues, but maybe this week for family worship you could read the chapters just preceding this about all the plagues, because God began, he told Pharaoh to let my people go, but Pharaoh wouldn't let him go, so he kept bringing plagues upon the land of Egypt to try to help those people to wake them up. And he was showing his power, that he is the creator and the almighty God. And so he began to do these things, and each time they would get worse and worse. And Pharaoh would tell Moses, "You can go, you can leave." But before they could leave, he would renege on his promise and tell them, "No, you're not going." Or he was always changing it on them. So finally we come down to the end, and God was going to deliver them. So in Exodus chapter 12 and verse 1, "The Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you." Now just a little note here, and I'm not going to take a lot of time on it this morning, but I've been studying this a lot because there's a big question in the world today as to where they begin the months. As I've studied it out, I'm going to read you just a little bit out of the encyclopedia, about one paragraph. And it's talking here about the calendars, how various civilizations kept their calendars. And this is talking about the lunar or the moon calendar, it says, was the simplest and earliest kind. It was based on observation of the phases of the moon. By counting moons, early man was able to keep rough track of important events, such as the arrival of spring, the regular flooding of a river, the ripening of fruits. The first calendars were calendars of months. Each month began with the appearance of the first crescent moon. They sighted the moon, and it goes on to tell here why they had to see the moon, because there's actually two dark days every month. There's 2 days when there's no moon seen. So today, some people try to take the dark of the moon, because we can pinpoint it and say that that's the new moon, but the people in early days actually kept it when they saw the new moon. It was actually sighted always. So he took Moses and Aaron, I believe, out here on this day, and he showed them their new crescent moon. And he told them in verse 2, this would be the beginning of the year to them. This was like the beginning of their history. They've been in Egypt for 400 years, all these people have, in bondage. And he told them, "I'm taking you out of here, and this is the beginning of your year." Verse 3, he said, "Speak ye unto all the children of Israel, saying, In the 10th day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb." So they could eat it with the neighbors next door, like if maybe there was a widow lady and she had no family, she could go next door with the neighbors and eat it. Verse 5, "Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts, on the upper door posts of the houses wherein they shall eat it." So they were told on the 10th day of the month to select this perfect lamb, one for each household. They kept it up, and they actually didn't feed it those last 4 days. That allowed its digestive system to be cleaned out. It had nothing but water for the last 4 days. And they killed it on that evening. They cut its throat like they did and bled it, let it die. And they had to take that blood, and they marked the doors of their houses with the blood. They marked it on their doorposts on both sides of the house. And that was to show when this angel was going to come through that night, every house that had the blood marked on the house, he wasn't going to bother. And every house in Egypt, it says, that didn't have blood on the doorposts of the house, he killed the firstborn child in that home. One person died in every house. The oldest son in every home in Egypt that night died. And because they didn't have the blood on there. And of course, that blood was to prefigure the blood of Jesus, because if we don't have Jesus' blood, if we haven't accepted him as our Savior, at the end, we'll suffer the wrath of God for our sins rather than having them taken away from us. So the blood was to be put on the door there. Verse 8 continues, and they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Bitter herbs is like lettuce, radishes, that type of thing. Eat not of it raw, so they weren't supposed to eat the flesh of him raw, nor sodden, that means boiled at all with water, but roast with fire, his head with his legs and with the pertinence thereof. They actually didn't dismember this lamb. It was roasted complete, and they ate it because it represented Jesus. You remember he was hung on the cross, and he wasn't dismembered or anything. He was hung there in his entirety. Verse 10, and ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning, and that which remaineth of it until the morning ye shall burn with fire. And thus shall ye eat it with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. So they were told on this night to be all ready to go, because they were leaving Egypt. Now if you'd been one of the Israelites there, and they'd been there now for nine plagues, nine times, God had plagued the Egyptians, and Pharaoh had said, okay, you can leave now. And they'd gotten ready to go, and then he decided they couldn't go. And so they're told this time, they're going to go this time, and they were told to make sure they did these things. See, they really didn't understand everything that was happening. They just had to do what they were told to do. But they were supposed to have their shoes on, their things packed, their staff in their hand, it says, and eat it in haste. Be ready to go. Verse 12, God told them, for I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt will I execute judgment. I am the Lord. So he told them, on this night I'm going to execute judgment against the land of Egypt, against their gods that they believe in, and I'm your God, and I'm going to show who has all power and who does not. Verse 13, and the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and ye shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. Ye shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. He told them they were going to keep the Passover day forever. Now we're going to take just a quick break here. You can keep your place if you'd like to. But let's turn over to the book of Isaiah, chapter 26. A lot of people don't realize it, but the Bible says there's another Passover coming. It's going to be the final Passover when God comes to do what he has to do here on earth. The Bible calls it his strange act. He's a creator and he loves his creation, but he's coming to clean house down here. Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 20, God's speaking about the end. It says, come, my people, enter thou into thy chambers and shut thy doors about thee. Hide thyself as it were for a little moment until the indignation be overpassed. That means passes over. He says, come in and hide yourselves for a little moment until my wrath has passed over. Verse 21 tells us, for behold, the Lord cometh out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. The earth also shall disclose her blood and shall no more cover her slain. We know this hasn't happened yet, but it says that God is coming, and he tells his people to prepare to enter into their chambers and wait it out as he gets ready to pass over. He's coming with overwhelming power. And next week, we're going to actually get into that and study a little deeper. We're not going to try to go through all this in one day. But you're aware, if you just think about it for a moment, the Bible tells us at the end that those who receive the mark of the beast are going to receive the seven last plagues. So those who have Jesus' blood, pleading for them, and don't receive the mark of the beast, they're going to be passed over. The book of Revelation tells us that the angels are going to go out, and they're going to pour out the vials of wrath upon the earth, and they're going to afflict all mankind. It's going to be a Passover. He's going to pass over his people and afflict all those who won't do what they're supposed to do. At that point in time, it's really too late for anyone to be saved. It's just like final judgment here upon our earth. Let's turn back now to Exodus chapter 12. And we'll begin there in verse 14 one more time. It says, "And this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and ye shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. Ye shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. 7 days shall ye eat unleavened bread. Even the first day ye shall put away leaven out of your houses. For whosoever eateth leavened bread from the first day unto the seventh day, that soul shall be cut off from Israel. And on the first day there shall be a holy convocation, and on the seventh day there shall be a holy convocation to you. No manner of work shall be done in them, save that which every man must eat, that only may be done." So he told them, on the 14th day of the evening, you're going to eat the Passover, you put the blood on your thing, and then the 15th day, or that next day, would be a Sabbath unto you. And he told them they weren't to work that day, and then the seventh day of that week was also a Sabbath. And the eating of the unleavened bread represented the fact that we're supposed to be getting sin out of our houses. God designed it for an everlasting statute so that every year when people ate unleavened bread for one whole week, it would bring it clearly to their mind that we have to get all sin out of our house, because the day is coming that God's going to wipe it out. So every year they were supposed to do this, and it was supposed to be a perpetual statute to help them remember it. If this had never been lost track of, if the Catholic Church had not succeeded in getting rid of it about the same time they got rid of the Sabbath day, 300 years after Jesus, we would have a world full of people today who knew they had to get sin out of their houses. Instead, today people, a lot of them don't even believe they can quit sinning. Well, I can't quit. And God's telling us we need to quit. We have to quit. Verse 17 continues, "And ye shall observe the feast of unleavened bread, for in this selfsame day have I brought your armies out of the land of Egypt. Therefore ye shall observe this day in your generations by an ordinance forever." He says a whole bunch of times, tells him, you're going to do this forever, forever, forever. Let me ask you a question. If everybody kept the Passover every year and all children were told every year about how God came and did this great deliverance for his people, your faith would be a lot stronger at the end, and you'd be a lot more able to believe that God was going to come and deliver you. Because if you happen to be one of those people that they're getting ready to kill there at the end of time because you won't do what you're supposed to do, if you know these great stories and you really believe that God did these things, then you can believe in the God who can deliver at the last moment. But if you've never heard these things and your faith isn't strengthened, you're never going to stand through the time of the end. You're going to be unable to take it when it gets down and it looks like they're going to cut your head off. Verse 18, it says, "In the first month, on the 14th day of the month at evening, ye shall eat unleavened bread until the 1 and 20th day of the month at even." For 7 days every year they eat the unleavened bread. Verse 19, 7 days shall there be no leaven found in your houses. For whosoever eateth that which is leavened, even that soul shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel, whether he be a stranger or born in the land. Ye shall eat nothing leavened in all your habitations, shall ye eat unleavened bread. So he made it very clear to him, get all the leaven out of your houses, get rid of it, it doesn't matter if you're a stranger. In other words, there were people who came out of Egypt with him. Remember, out of Egypt came what was called the mixed multitude. There were a lot of Egyptians who watched all these plagues that the God of the Jews did upon their land, and before they got ready to leave, they said, we want to go with you. Our God here in Egypt is nothing, and we want to go serve your God. And those people marched out of Egypt with the children of Israel and went to the new land. So he wanted them to know that whether they were a stranger or whether they were Israelite by birth, they were accepted by him. And we know today there's no one that God will not accept if we obey him and accept his son's sacrifice for us. Verse 21 continues the story. It says, "Then Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said unto them, draw out and take you a lamb according to your families, and kill the Passover. And ye shall take a bunch of hyssop," that's like a plant, I don't know what we compare it to, but you know, something you could dip in there, like a small shrub to put up on the lintel of the house. Verse 22, you shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and strike the lintel and the two side posts with the blood that is in the basin. And none of you shall go out at the door of his house until the morning. And remember, we just read in Isaiah, come into your place, shut the doors about you. Part of the Passover was that they didn't go out of their house that night. You stayed there in your home. You were waiting for the Lord's angel to come through to Passover. All the Israelites were in their houses that night. They weren't out running the streets there. They were all at home. Verse 23, for the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians, and when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come into your houses to smite you. And ye shall observe this thing for an ordinance to thee and to thy sons forever. Another forever. He keeps telling them forever, forever, forever. 25, and it shall come to pass when ye be come into the land which the Lord will give you, according as he hath promised, that ye shall keep this service. And it shall come to pass when your children shall say unto you, what mean ye by this service? That ye shall say, it is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt, when he smote the Egyptians, and delivered our houses, and the people bowed the head and worshipped. And the children of Israel went away and did as the Lord commanded Moses and Aaron, so did they. And it came to pass that at midnight the Lord smote all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sat on his throne, unto the firstborn of the captive that was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of cattle. And Pharaoh rose up in the night, he and all his servants and all the Egyptians, and there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not one dead. Now remember, the Egyptians, they believed that their gods had the power of life. So Moses said, our God is going to take out the firstborn in every one of your families if you don't let us go. And Pharaoh said, I'm not letting you go, and we're not scared because our gods are greater than yours. So they all had to notice that this was going to occur. And on that night at midnight, can you imagine the cry is in every house? They were checking and the firstborn died at that moment. 12 o'clock midnight. Every house. The oldest child died. Pharaoh's son, the crown prince, died at that moment. And all his great men, and it says right down to the lowest man that was in jail in Egypt. Everybody in Egypt, the firstborn, died. And it says all the cattle as well. Verse 31 speaks of Pharaoh. It says, and he, Pharaoh, called for Moses and Aaron by night and said, rise up and get you forth from among my people, both ye and the children of Israel, and go and serve the Lord as ye have said. Also take your flocks and your herds as ye have said, and be gone, and bless me also. Pharaoh's asking that God, they'll bless him somehow. He realizes now he's really made a grave mistake here. In fact, if we'd read the whole story, Moses kept coming to Pharaoh each time there's a plague and telling him, you got to do this. And the last time Pharaoh was so disgusted, he told Moses, if you ever see my face again, I'm going to kill you. He told him, the next time you see me, Moses, you're dead. But on this night, Pharaoh came to see Moses and told him, you can go. You can take your animals. You can go. Verse 33, and the Egyptians were urgent upon the people that they might send them out of the land in haste, for they said, we be all dead men. The Egyptians said, let's get them out of here right now. Get them out of here tonight, or we're all going to be dead. Now think about that, you know. The average family's 3, 4, 5 people. So you're taking out 25% of all the people in Egypt died that night. That's a lot of people. And they said, you know, we got to get them out of here. We're all going to be dead. Verse 34, and the people took their dough before it was leavened, their kneading troughs being bound up in their clothes upon their shoulders. And the children of Israel did according to the word of Moses, and they borrowed of the Egyptians jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment. Moses had told them before, they've worked there for slaves all this time, and he told them, when we get ready to go, you go to the people that you've worked for and tell them you want to take their gold, their silver, and good fabric with you. And when they came there that night, and the firstborn was dead in the house, and the Israelites were still there, and the Israelites said to them, "We want gold, silver, and fine cloth." They gave it to them, whatever they had. Get out of here. Get going. Remember, we just read where Abraham was told they'll come out of this land with great substance. God told Abraham, they're going down there for 400 years, then I'll judge that land and deliver them, and they'll come out of it with great substance. They basically took the wealth of Egypt with them that night. And that was God's plan because they had worked for it and because he was going to build the beautiful tabernacle in the wilderness. And all these slaves were going to need a lot of gold and silver and fine raiment to build the house of God that was going to travel with them. Verse 36 says, "And the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, so that they lent unto them such things as they required, and they spoiled the Egyptians. And the children of Israel journeyed from Ramses to Succoth, about 600,000 on foot, that were men besides children. And a mixed multitude went up also with them, flocks and herds, even very much cattle." That's one thing that tells me the truth of this story is the fact that Egypt in mythology and in hieroglyphics and in the Middle East was one of the greatest nations over there. And all of a sudden they lost all their power and they've never regained it. When you take out one whole generation out of a land, and of course we haven't read the whole story yet, you know, also after they had left for a few days, Pharaoh decided, we made a big mistake here letting all those people go, and we want them back, so he took his entire army after them, all his army, all his chariots, and God drowned all them in the ocean. So there you took out the entire army of this country. It devastated the country of Egypt, and it never recovered because they set themselves up against God. Verse 38 says, "And a mixed multitude went up also with them, and flocks and herds, even very much cattle. And they baked unleavened cakes of the dough which they brought forth out of Egypt, for it was not leavened, because they were thrust out of Egypt and could not tarry, neither had they prepared for themselves any victuals, food. Now the journey of the children of Israel who dwelt in Egypt was 430 years. And it came to pass at the end of the 430th year that even the selfsame day it came to pass that all the host of the Lord went up out of the land of Egypt. It is a night to be much observed unto the Lord for bringing them out from the land of Egypt. This is that night of the Lord to be observed of all the children of Israel in all their generations." It's a night to be much observed, the Bible says. We want to serve the God who can deliver on that magnitude. We want to make sure that he claims us as one of his. Verse 43 says, "The Lord said unto Moses and Aaron, this is the ordinance of the Passover. There shall no stranger eat thereof." The strangers could not eat the Passover lamb. "But every man's servant that is bought for money, when he hath circumcised him, shall he eat thereof. A foreigner and a hired servant shall not eat thereof. In one house shall it be eaten. Thou shalt not carry forth aught of the flesh abroad out of the house, neither shall ye break a bone thereof." Remember, Jesus had no bones broken, and they were commanded not to break any of the bones of this lamb. "All the congregation of Israel shall keep it. And when a stranger shall sojourn with thee, and will keep the Passover to the Lord, let all his males be circumcised, and let them come near and keep it. And he shall be as one that is born in the land. For no uncircumcised person shall eat thereof. One law shall be to him that is homeborn, and unto the stranger that sojourneth among you." Thus did all the children of Israel, as the Lord commanded Moses and Aaron, so did they. And it came to pass the selfsame day that the Lord did bring the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt by their armies. Can you imagine this? What a deliverance. But as we come down to the end of time, what a deliverance it's going to be. There's 6 billion people on our planet today, and at the end we know there's really only going to be a small bunch of people saved, maybe a few hundred thousand from the entire earth. It's going to be like it was then. It looks like they can't make it. It's going to look like they can't survive, but God's going to deliver them. And we're told to keep the Passover and teach our children to keep it so that they can have that faith at the end and know what's going on. the Passover is actually to be kept the 14th day of the first month here, and that will be this Monday night. So we're all going to meet here at the church to have our Passover. We're going to study some more about it. We're going to have a nice supper like the children of Israel did, of the bitter herbs, and we're going to have our unleavened bread with it. Jesus, on the night that he was going to die, changed the Passover and instituted the Lord's Supper because he didn't want people eating lambs any longer in his honor. But he did tell the disciples that night, he told them, every time you do this, do it in remembrance of me. So he told them that from now on, when you keep the Passover, you're not going to kill a lamb and eat it. You're going to eat this unleavened bread. And he gave them grape juice to drink and told them that it represented his blood. And he told them to drink that. Some people think that's gross, but what he was telling us was we have to take his life into our being and we have to become like him. The Bible told them they couldn't drink the blood because the life was in the blood. And so as you and I drink the grape juice that Jesus told the disciples to drink every year on the Passover as they kept it, we're representing the fact that we're putting Jesus' life inside of us. And if we're doing that, we're becoming a little more like Jesus all the time. And he's cleaning us up and helping us. So Monday night we'll gather here. Probably about 6 o'clock we'll begin. And you don't have to bring anything or anything, but we encourage you to come and partake in it. It's going to be a very nice study. We're going to study more about this and study about the fact that what it tells us in Revelation, that God is coming at the end and he's going to pass over his people as he destroys the people here in the world who won't do what's right, live by his Ten Commandments, and give him the worship and honor that he deserves. Let's bow our heads. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy great name. We thank you for your many blessings to us. We thank you for the great stories that you've preserved in your word. We thank you for the great deliverances that you've wrought for your people, Father, and we ask that you put them into our minds and strengthen our faith and increase it in great measure so that as we come down to the end, if we be one of those who face the final death here on this earth, that we can have the belief to know that you will deliver us at the end and that you will raise up from the dead those who perish in your honor. Bless us this day. Bless all those who are hurting and in need in our earth, and help all people to learn the knowledge of you and come into a covenant relationship with you. In Jesus' holy name we ask thy blessing. Thy will be done, Almighty Father. Amen.